from the Interim Director, Department of Family Care, submitting an informational report on the income statement for the period January 1st, 2010 through December 31st, 2010 of the care management organization under Family Care. This was also referred to the Committee on Finance and Audit. Informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Madam Chair, County Board Supervisors, you have what you have before you are the unaudited results for 2010. These are the results that we will be going into as we get audited in starting in the beginning of May. The auditors will be coming out to us. What you have in front of you is a we had served 7,580 members with roughly $264 million in revenues, with a net surplus of $2.7 million. What I want to bring to your attention are some footnotes and also the fact that while there may be a $2.7 million surplus, the rate structure that we were provided with prior to expansion, we've had to make some adjustments operationally, and in doing so, we were able to improve utilization in the personal care and supportive home care service delivery model, and we were able to save $4.9 million this past fiscal year. So had that not happened, this program would have likely operated in a deficit, and that was primarily done through Interim Director Ledger's direction with our Chief Operating Officer and Chief Clinical Officer. So I don't want people to get the impression that this is just there's just money rolling in. We were provided a rate that was insufficient to cover the costs of for expansion, and we made some adjustments operationally to make it work. And we are the only program that has, through expansion, been able to break even or produce a surplus. Out of all the other nine MCOs, we were the only one thus far. So I think that says a lot. The footnotes you have in front of you just reflect in the numbers, the capitation numbers. We typically, for the expansion enrollees, we are allowed to revisit the functional screen, because the functional screen tool is also used not just for eligibility purposes but also used for our payment purposes. So we were able to revisit that functional screen and reassess, and through that process obtain some additional revenues. For the year of 2010, the estimate is $5,472,037 in gross revenue. To date, we've received payments of $2,046,495, and the balance, we've done is we've conservatively recorded 75% of that $5.4 million. I guess I did meet with the county controller, explained my concerns because I was getting a little nervous with all these proposed cuts with the budget repair bill and everything, and they didn't know what to expect. We have since received some data files that we're reviewing on our last two quarters of operations on these numbers, and we'll try to confirm those numbers with the state. Should those happen, we would likely, and should we feel comfortable with those, we would likely then record the additional 25%, which is $1,368,010. But at the time, I just didn't want to have this program get set up with a recording of a revenue, and then all of a sudden we're met with a surprise. So we did receive confirmation for the first three quarters that we would receive payment, and we've received payment for the first two quarters. So again, it's a conservative approach, and Chairman West and Supervisor Lipscomb, I'm kind of appealing to you a bit because you don't know the history behind this program, but part of the history was in the past there were some revenues recorded, and we later had to write those off because they weren't going to be recognized and paid out. So we've always, for the last 5 or 6 years, we've really taken a conservative approach towards our accrual process. The second note is several years ago, the Government Accounting Standards Board has required all governmental entities and nonprofit entities to fund or accrue for their provide the funding for paid time off, sick leave pay. So there's been an existing liability out there that we've been gradually whittling down. I met with the county controller, Scott Mansky, and asked him if we could record the remaining balance in light of the uncertainty going forward, and he felt comfortable in doing that. So in that expense, there's a $415,863 one-time recording of the liability, and going forward, we will just be accruing as earned. So we are caught up as a program within county government on that. And then the final note is, county board of supervisors are aware of, we did relocate from the Rice Building to the courthouse this past year, and in December, and the expense associated with that was $222,200. That would explain why we're over budget. At the time, earlier when the budget was being prepared, there was really no discussion or direction at the time to record anything for a move. We were under the impression that was going to be handled at the Department of Administrative Services level, and we were later instructed that that had to come out of the department's budget. So, again, just trying to footnote to explain what some of those variances are for. But we did end here on a high note, a surplus. I don't know if there's any questions.
And surplus all goes to the reserve?
Correct.
What is the current balance in the reserve?
With the 2 point, I'm rounding these numbers. With the 2.8 million, we have about 13.2 million. We had 10.4 going into 2010.
Do we know what the extent of the losses that our competitor is incurring, and what the state is subsidizing in their cost sharing agreement?
Mr. Chair? Yes. Chairman West, Supervisor Lipscomb, I don't have the fourth quarter results yet. I anticipate having the year-end results. I believe it might be at the next month's fiscal work group. Our competitor was incurring a loss. The problem is they're located in 11 counties, so it's going to be losses from other counties. However, there was a letter sent out earlier this year, I think it was in January, that had went out to the provider community, notifying the provider community that they were going to be reducing rates, cutting rates. From the information we've been able to gather, the rate cuts we were seeing anywhere from 6 to 10 to 15%, depending on the type of service provider. In that letter, they had the organization had communicated that they were forecasting an anticipated loss for 2011 of roughly near $14 million for all their operations. That would not just be Milwaukee County.
And Madam Chair, Supervisor Lipscomb, I think the risk sharing agreement that you're referring to is the agreement, and I believe that agreement is solely for Milwaukee County, correct? And what that agreement entered into with the State Department of Health Services says that for that organization, for all of their losses over the first 1%, the State Department of Health Services shares in their losses equally 50-50. So that's through this year. And so that risk-sharing agreement was sort of a package that went hand-in-hand with them going back out to their provider community and cutting back on the amounts that they were reimbursing their providers for member services.
I'm sorry, did you say that the risk-sharing agreement is only through this year?
That's the information, yeah, that was shared with the Department of Health Services. That was a call that I had gotten very close to the end of last year from the then outgoing division administrator for long-term care at the state side. So they had put it in a very shortened time frame, hoping that the risk-sharing agreement, at least this was my understanding, that the risk-sharing agreement along with those rate cuts would put that organization on more solid footing. But as I'm sorry. Thank you. As Mr. Hodson just pointed out, that is the second risk-sharing agreement that the state has entered into with that organization.
Very interesting. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions?